just remain standing, if you will. Turn in your Bible to Romans chapter number 8. Romans chapter number 8. And then 2 Corinthians. We'll be looking at two places in 2 Corinthians. We'll start with Romans chapter 8. Amen. Appreciate that song as well. Amen. I'm glad we can feast at our Lord's table. That's feasting from the Word of God. Amen. And feast on our Lord. He's our bread. And the Word of God is our bread. Isn't that right? And we can feast on that. Romans chapter number 8. Very, very familiar chapter. More than likely the entire chapter. I'm going to read only verse number 1. I've got a short title. That's surprising. And perhaps a short message. And you'll be surprised there too, won't you, if that's how it turns out. But so, it'll be surprise, surprise. Amen. We'll see if that's how it turns out or not. I mentioned Romans chapter 8, and that's where we'll begin reading. Look also, if you will, hold your place in 2 Corinthians chapter number 5. And then also 2 Corinthians chapter number 13. We'll look at these three places for my text tonight. And that's Romans chapter 8, 2 Corinthians chapter 5, and 2 Corinthians chapter number 13 as well. All these verses that I'm going to read are familiar. Most of them you probably have memorized. And if not, they're good verses to commit to memory. And place in your memory there. Romans chapter number 8, verse number 1. Romans chapter 8, verse number 1. There is therefore now, I like that little word now, no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. I'm going to read that again. And there's two words I want to emphasize. There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are, and here's the words, in Christ. Amen. In Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. 2 Corinthians chapter number 5 and verse number 17. Again, very familiar verse. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, there's our two words again. If any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things become new. Now, before I move off on to chapter 13, let me say something about verse 17 there. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. I believe the old things passed away may just happen in your heart, and nobody can see that. But all things become new. He said, behold, that means you can see something there. When somebody genuinely gets saved, there's things take place in your heart that others cannot see. But there'll also be some things take place outside that others will be able to see. Amen. 2 Corinthians chapter number 13 and verse number 5. Examine yourselves, whether ye be in the faith. Prove your own selves. Know ye not your own selves, how that Jesus Christ is in you, except ye be reprobates. I looked at the word in Christ Jesus. I looked at the words in Christ. This time I want to look at the words in the faith. Examine yourselves whether ye be in the faith. Prove your own selves. Know ye not your own selves, how that Jesus Christ is in you, except you be reprobates. I want to try to preach tonight on this thought. Are you in? Are you in? Amen. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Brother Hall, would you lead us in prayer, please? Yes, thank you, Jesus. Yes, Lord, help us on that. Yes. Yes. Help, Lord. Yes. Amen. Amen. Thank you for saying you can be seated. Thank you, Brother Hall, for that prayer. Amen. Amen. He talks about being in Christ. He talks about being in the faith. And he talks about being in Christ Jesus. And now, as I said, all these verses are very familiar to us, but I want to just mention that, first of all, he talks about, all these verses are talking about evidences of salvation. Amen. Evidences of salvation. And the first verse that I looked at, Romans chapter 8, verse number 1, talks about the fact that we need to recognize that there is now, since we're in Christ, these old things are passed away. The condemnation is gone. Thank God. Forgiveness has taken place. Reconciliation has taken place. Redemption has taken place. Amen. Those things happen in the very moment that a person gets saved. Amen. Not if you hang on to the end. That's not what it says. It says, therefore, now, right now, no condemnation. Amen. The moment you get saved, you are totally saved. Amen. Amen. You'll never be more saved than the moment you get saved. Amen. Just like Joshua was using the illustration this morning, talking about being born again. The idea about being born into a nation. When a baby is born, he'll never be more alive than he's alive the moment that he's born. And you'll never be more eternally alive than the day that you are born again. Amen. And so the idea here is talking about the fact that we are in the Lord Jesus Christ. There's therefore now no condemnation. Amen. And then he goes on to talk about the need to examine ourselves. 2 Corinthians 13:5, the last one that I read. The need to examine ourselves. I think it's good to look back over things and see if we actually are in the faith or not. Amen. If there actually was a transformation that took place, say, something that happened on the inside. Amen. And then the verse number 17 of chapter 5 talks about the radical change that takes place. And all of these are dealing with in the faith, in Christ, and in Christ Jesus our Lord. There's where the difference is. So as I said, I want to think on that about being in. Are you in? Amen. We hear a lot of people talking about being a Christian. A lot of talk about that. A lot of talk about being saved. The first presidential election that I remember was when Jimmy Carter beat Gerald Ford. And I don't exactly remember what grade I was in when that took place. I could probably figure it out. But looking back at it, I remember that election. I remember as a child some of the uproar about Watergate and all the mess that was going on in that. And then here comes, and Jimmy Carter, as far as I know, was the first one to make it popular to talk about being born again, being a born again Christian. And all of a sudden everybody's talking about being born again with no evidence. Matter of fact, excuse me, got a little tickle in my throat. Excuse me. Matter of fact, a lot of people profess that they know God, but in works, they deny him, the Bible said. And I'm afraid that we see that happen many times. And a lot of people talk about being a Christian or being saved. And I wonder if they really know what it means, amen, to be saved or to be a Christian. Obviously, you got to be in Christ in order to be saved. Amen. Salvation's not just naming the name of Christ. Amen. Salvation is not just wearing the name of Christ. A lot of people can wear the shirt. Amen. Or wear the jewelry or wear whatever the case that that they can have that can say that they're a Christian without actually being a Christian. And I'm afraid far too many people talk about it than actually really know what it means to be a Christian. A lot of people are attempting to do Christian work. Do some labor for God, for Christ. And yet they're themselves not actually Christians. I'm afraid there are Sunday school teachers whose job is to teach our children or the children that are under them, the job to teach them about Christ, and some of them perhaps don't even know Christ themselves. I'm afraid there are preachers in the pulpit. Amen. Talking about, I mean, they've got all the right words. They may even have the right Bible. and yet never having a personal experience. How many? We've read about them. I mean, read about them by the dozens. Dozens that I could think about it and name up. George Mueller, George Whitfield, John Wesley, all those men, many of those men that became famous for working for God were in the ministry before they ever got saved by the grace of God. Amen. And they got in the ministry because in that time frame it was a lucrative thing to do. It was a honorable thing to do. And they got in without ever having really an experiential, or the way they'd said, a experimental. Amen. It's not that they're, you know, testing to see, but it's that they have actually experimented. They have been there, done that, and they saw that it works. Amen. And a lot of people never have an actual experience with Christ themselves. Amen. It is possible to proclaim the message and never have Christ on the inside. I personally believe that Judas preached with the other 12 when he sent them out two by two. Judas apparently was one of them, but he was not saved. Amen. Judas may have been one of those healing people doing miracles. Amen. He may have, they came back saying even the devils are subject unto us. Amen. I imagine Judas was in that crowd, but he was not a believer. Amen. I'm saying these things, I'm not trying to get you to doubt, but I am interested in us doing that examination to see what happened. Now here's the case. I'm not asking you to measure your salvation with me. I'm not asking you to measure your salvation with somebody else's testimony. I'm asking you to measure your salvation by the book. Amen. Amen. Examine yourself by the light of the Word of God. That's the idea, amen, that we need to be dealing with. Amen. And so I just say that there's got to be a movement. Joshua talked about this morning in 2 Peter, or 1 Peter, in there in chapter 2 of 1 Peter, where he talked about he brought us out of darkness, amen, into his marvelous light. I would say that's some kind of a transformation, amen. 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 He brought us out that he might take us in. Amen. That's what he said. Amen. Matter of fact, if you want to turn over there to the book of Deuteronomy, if you will, back in the Old Testament, Moses is given the statement about God delivering Israel in Deuteronomy chapter number 6. You know, the book of Deuteronomy is the rehearsal of the law. They say the second giving of the law. As the children of Israel initially got the law when they came out of Egypt, there at Mount Sinai, now they're 40 years later, they're getting ready to enter into the promised land. Moses is getting ready to pass off the scene, and he rehearses the law to them. Excuse me. And he tells them that God brought them out of Egyptian bondage because he intended to take them in to the promised land. Chapter 6, verse number 23. Look at this, and I underline these words. He said, and he brought us out from thence, that he might bring us in, to give us the land which he sware unto our fathers. Amen. Now, I'll just say this, and I believe it's true. I'm not in the job. I try not to get involved in saying you're saved or you're not saved. I can't tell you if you're saved or lost. All I can tell you is what the Word of God says, and let the Holy Spirit, by the way, the Holy Spirit can tell you. He witnesses with our spirit that we are the sons of God. Or he witnesses with us, condemns us, convicts us of sin and of righteousness and of judgment to come. That we're not a child of God. Amen. It's the Holy Spirit that does that. But here's where I'm going with that. If you've never been brought out of anything, I wonder, have you ever been in anything? Amen. And so he says that he brought us out that he might take us in. Again, I don't want to cause you to doubt or fear. I don't want to ask you to have those kind of things, but I do want us to search our heart and ask God to show us. Now, thinking about that, are you in? Are you in Christ? Are you in the faith? Are you in Christ Jesus? I got to think about some things it would mean if you are in. Let me run those by you real quickly, and then we'll get down to the conclusion. I'll ask some more questions. But are you in? Number one, here's what it means if you are in. It will mean a true spiritual understanding. Amen. A true spiritual understanding. You see, salvation is not a physical thing. It will be one day. One of these days we're going to have a glorified body. If I can say it, a saved body. Amen. resurrected body, brought from death unto life, right? But right now my spirit has been brought from death unto life. I've been saved on the inside, hallelujah, amen. And God's working on me, amen, conforming me, and he has predestinated us to be conformed to the image of his dear son, amen. And he's working on that, amen. But here's what he does when the sinner comes to Christ. There is a spiritual awakening. There is a spiritual knowledge that comes in. Turn to 1 Corinthians chapter number 2. Again, familiar verses, I'm sure, but just a reminder. 1 Corinthians chapter number 2, and let me just read a few verses, about 4 or 5 verses here. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, starting verse 12, and read to the end, all right? 1 Corinthians 2, verse 12 says, "Now we have received," he's talking about saints, "have received not the spirit of the world, but the spirit which is of God, that we might know the things that are freely given to us of God. Which things also we speak, not in the words which man's wisdom teacheth, but which the Holy Ghost teacheth, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. But the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him. Neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. But he that is spiritual judgeth all things, yet he himself is judged of no man. For who hath known the mind of the Lord, that he may instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ." You notice what he's saying there? Something took place in our life that was not just purely physical. It was not just purely mental. It was a spiritual work of God when we got saved by the grace of God. There's a spiritual knowledge. We recognize that. He's talking about how that we receive the things that the natural man cannot receive, the things of God, because they're spiritually discerned. Amen. That's why sinners can sit in the house of God, and if they're not being convicted by the Holy Ghost, they're not being dealt with by the Holy Ghost, the preaching seems foolishness to them. But to those of us that believe, it is the power of God unto salvation. Amen. That's what he said. We recognize it as the power of God. They don't recognize it as that. You know why? They can't spiritually discern those things. But we compare spiritual things with spiritual. What's that talking about? We compare what this spiritual book says to our spirit on the inside. We compare what the Holy Spirit says through the Holy Scriptures, amen, to our spirit, amen. We compare those things and we see that the Word of God is always right, amen. Now, when the men of this world speak about the things of the Spirit of God, they don't know what the child of God knows. Amen. I'm talking about worldly men talking about the Holy Spirit and the things of the Spirit. They do not know what those who are in Christ Jesus know. They can't comprehend it. That Brother Steve's used this illustration a lot, and I believe he's right. That's one of the reasons why they keep coming up with more and more versions of the Bible. Always wanting one easier to read. You know why? Because the natural man cannot figure out what the spiritual book is saying. Amen. Why? Let me ask this. Why the King James Bible, they say that the King's English in the King James Bible is written on about a fifth grade level. How come our grandparents that never finished elementary school could understand the King James Bible? These professors in college can't understand it. One reason is they don't have any spiritual insight. Amen. They don't, and I know there's another reason why they're making a lot of Bibles. There's money in that. If you can copyright it, boy, I mean, you can make a pile of money. Amen. Put your words in there. You can copyright your words, but you ain't got any right to copyright God's words. Amen. And so they're his words. Amen. And I'm glad that we have the King James Bible. Amen. But I'm just saying, when the worldly man, a lost man in the world, speaks about the things of the Spirit of God, they don't know what they're talking about. The Spirit of God leads the child of God. The Spirit of God guides the child of God into all truth. That's what Jesus promised in John chapter 16. That when he, the Spirit, has come, he will guide you into all truth. But he's not guiding the lost man in the same way. Amen. He's not leading the lost man in the same way. The lost man does not have that spiritual guidance. Now, guidance. Let me go back. I started this thought and I got sidetracked on it. Why can if this is written on a fifth grade level, why can educated lost people not understand the Bible? I'm going to tell you why. Because their spirit is in rebellion against the Spirit of God. They're not being led by the Spirit. They're not following the Spirit of God. They are rebelling against the Spirit of God. They are fighting against the Spirit of God. They are resisting the Spirit of God. Therefore, they cannot understand this book. Cannot. Amen. Now, they may know the words, but they can't understand, they can't grasp the spirit of it. That's the whole thing. It is the spirit of it. It's the spirit that quickeneth. The words, the letters are death, but the Spirit of God quickeneth, amen, and makes them life unto us that believe, amen. Now, here's what I got thinking about. The lost man does not have this spiritual guidance. He may be witty, he may be worldly wise, but he cannot grasp the things of the Spirit. They're out of his reach. He can't get a hold of them, amen. He may be clever. He may be very proficient in his own sphere of knowledge, but spiritual things are out of his league. Amen. Amen. A great philosopher or professor or scientist may be an expert in their field, and yet he needs to leave off speaking about Christianity until he knows something about it. Amen. Amen. Great philosopher or professor or scientist may be very educated and proficient in his field, but he needs to leave off trying to educate us about the Bible or explain to us the Bible, because he cannot grasp it himself until he has the Spirit of God on the inside. Amen. There's a true spiritual understanding that comes with being saved. Now, that doesn't mean that you understand all the Bible, because nobody ever does. If somebody says, well, I've got it all figured out, mark her down, they don't know the first thing. Amen. Here they are still in kindergarten, and they thought they've graduated college. They haven't learned, they haven't gotten to first base if they think they've got it all figured out. Amen. I'm not saying that we have it all figured out, but I am saying when the resistance is down, when we are being led by the Spirit, then the Word of God starts making some sense. Lights start coming on. We're no longer stumbling around in darkness. Amen. We're living in the light, walking in the light, and you'll be amazed at how more light will be shown and more light will be shown. Amen. And you'll see more and more. The day goes brighter and brighter for the child of God. Amen. Amen. Now, I'm almost done with this point, but I'm thinking about this. I said they need to leave that alone until they come to know Christ, know something about Christ. The Samaritan woman left her bucket at the well. I like that song. Amen. She left her bucket at the well. She left her water pot at the well, went back into the city and began to tell those men, come see a man which told me all things that ever I did. How did she get that knowledge? Because she was in. Amen. She's in, and now she has some knowledge that she never had before. Amen. She's got some information they don't have anymore. Amen. Thank God. She can point others at where to get in. Amen. And amen. That's right. Amen. Well, let me give you the second thing. Not only once a person gets in, it means they have a true spiritual understanding. Secondly, it means there's a tremendous special protection. A tremendous special protection. Turn back, if you will, to John chapter 17. To what we know as our Lord's high priestly prayer in the Garden of Gethsemane. The true Lord's Prayer. You know, they got that little saying that our Lord, the pattern prayer, they call that the Lord's Prayer. This is actually our Lord praying in John 17 and recorded his words. John's the only one that recorded these words that are here in John 17. He says in verse number 14, Jesus is praying and he says, I have given them thy word. Who's the them? Those that have believed on him. Those that are following him. All right, you see that? Verse 14. I have given them thy word, and the world hateth them. Well, that's still true today, ain't it? They hate the Bible, and they hate Bible believers. Boy, that bunch of narrow-minded Bible thumpers always telling us that we're in sin. And they're causing us trouble. They're bothering us. They're not tolerant. So what we got to do, we got to prove our tolerance by killing them Christians. That's about how tolerant they are. Amen. But the truth is, Christians ought to be that narrow right there. Just as narrow as the King James Bible. Amen. If it ain't in that book, then I don't have to believe it. I don't care how real the dream seemed. Amen. I don't care how many books it sells. I'm talking about your dream or your prophecy or your word. Amen. If it's not in that book, we don't have to believe it. But if it is in that book, we better believe it, even as unbelievable as it may seem. Amen. That's true. He said, I've given them thy word, and they have, the world has hated them. Let me get back to that. Verse number 14. I've given them thy word, and the world has hated them, because they are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. By the way, if you go get all the piercings, they'd love you. If you'd get all the tattoos, they'd love you. If you drink the liquor they drink, amen. If you'd run the way they're running, they'd love you. But they don't love you because you don't do those things. Because you're not of that anymore. You're not in what they're in. Amen. You've been brought out of those things. Hallelujah. And you're in something they're not in. And they hate it. Amen. They'll say, you're not with the in crowd. Oh, yes, we are. Amen. Amen. We are with the in crowd if you're saved by the grace of God. I got to finish reading that. Verse number 15. Y'all always mess me up. I get a short message and y'all get me to preaching running rabbits here and there. Amen. Verse number 15. Jesus still praying. Now he said, I pray not that thou shouldest take them out of the world, but that thou shouldest keep them from the evil. Amen. When a person gets saved by the grace of God, they are translated out of the kingdom of sin and Satan and into the kingdom of his dear son. That's what the Bible says, right? Translated out of darkness and into light. But when we get in the kingdom of light, the kingdom of darkness hates us. Amen. When we get in the kingdom of Christ, God's dear son, the kingdom of Satan hates us, and they'll do everything they can to trip us up. Amen. And I'm not just talking about friends that'll offer you things. It's amazing how that all of a sudden everybody will have a TV that's hooked on some kind of pornography site. Amen. Everybody will have some kind of new drugs they want you to try, or new alcohol they want you to try, or some kind of new thing that they want you to do. Everybody, and they'll offer it to you. They'll pay for it. Give it to you. But I'm not just talking about what people will offer you. I'm talking about what the devil will do and the temptations of the mind and the troubles that will come upon us. Amen. As a child of God. And yet Jesus said, I'm not asking you to take them out of it. I'm just asking you to protect them from it. Amen. Not take them out of the world. Amen. He didn't rapture us the moment we got saved. Amen. But he left us here. He left us here for a purpose. Amen. Amen. So I say this, when we become Christians, we are not all at once removed from this earth, but we are protected by our God. Amen. We are in the hand of Christ, he says in John chapter 10, and Christ is in the hand of God. Amen. And nobody's able to pluck us out of either one of their hands. Amen. Amen. That's what he said. We are protected by the hand of God. We are no longer a part of this wicked world system. We've been changed on the inside. Amen. We have the Holy Ghost living on the inside. We grow day by day as we study God's Word, as we learn God's Word, as we walk in the Spirit. All that time we are being guided and we are being protected by the mighty hand of our God. Amen. Again, going along with some of what Joshua said, we are on foreign soil. We are in enemy territory. If you're a soldier of the Lord, if you're a soldier for Christ, you're on foreign soil in enemy territory. But we are protected by our Heavenly Father. Amen. We will have to daily contend with the flesh, the world, and the devil. Amen. But even in that, we are protected by our God. Amen. Amen. We've all heard stories and heard preaching. People preach about, for example, the city of Corinth, how wicked Corinth was. Turn to the book of 1 Corinthians, chapter number 1. Paul the apostle, he knew what Corinth was like in his day. And he wrote actually wrote three letters. We have two of them preserved for us in the King James Bible. Amen. And we don't need to go looking for the lost letter. Amen. God preserved what he inspired. Amen. Corinth was a very wicked city. And yet Paul writes to believers in Corinth. Look at verse number 1, 1 Corinthians 1, verse 1. Paul, called to be an apostle of Jesus Christ, through the will of God and Sosthenes our brother, unto the church of God which is at Corinth. So there was a church in Corinth, that wicked city. Look at what he says about them. The church, church of God which is at Corinth, to them that are sanctified in Christ Jesus. There's our phrase again, isn't it? Called to be saints with all that in every place called upon the name of Jesus Christ our Lord, both theirs and ours. It goes on, grace and peace from God the Father and our Lord Jesus Christ. All right, so he's talking about the fact Corinth was a wicked city, and yet there were believers in Corinth. How could those believers in the midst of Corinth not be polluted by the evil that was surrounding them? The answer is they were in Christ. That's what he said. That's the very phrase he used. You are in Christ Jesus. Sanctified means set apart. Amen. This cup, for example, is sanctified. We had two cups up here. One of them was for Philip. The other was for me. We didn't both drink out of the same cup. This one's just for me. Amen. When God saved us, we're for him. We're not for the world. Amen. Amen. We're not to be a part of the world. We're set apart for God. Amen. How can we be kept from the evil? I'll tell you how. If we are in Christ, we are protected by the mighty hand of God. Amen. Amen. These Corinthian believers could be protected by the Holy Ghost and by the hand of God, even though they were surrounded by heathens in a wicked city. Amen. You and I, likewise, can be protected by the Holy Spirit and by the mighty hand of God, even in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation, among whom you shine his lights, Paul said to the Philippians. Amen. America's getting worse and worse, friend. I'm talking about morally. Amen. Social media has not put a damper on those kinds of sins. It's poured gas on it. It's spread it further and further and further. Amen. Our world's getting more and more decadent. Amen. Even now, they say things on the news, on our Christian station, they say things on the news that when I was a boy, you didn't even talk about those things. I know about lost people a lot of times didn't even talk about some of those things. You know why? Because we've got coarse, we've got crude, we've got used to those kind of things being talked about. And the morals has gone down. But listen, our morality is not to be based on the move of culture or the slide of culture. No, our morality is to be based on this book. What this book said was wrong 2,000 years ago is still wrong today. What this book said was right 2,000 years ago is still right today. I know culture changes, but the book don't change. Amen. And that's what we got to base our beliefs upon. Amen. Our beliefs, we got to base all those things on the Word of God. So they were in a wicked city, yet they were protected by God. You and I can be as well. Let me give you a picturesque illustration. I thought about this last night. Pin these things down. Suppose you are shipwrecked on a deserted island. Every deserted island that I've ever read about in books or saw on TV when I was a boy. Every deserted island, somewhere there's a piece of paper. Amazingly. And a pen or a pencil that you could write a note and a plea for help. Amen. Now you're out in the middle of the Pacific Ocean or the Atlantic Ocean. You don't even know what ocean. You're out in the middle of somewhere shipwrecked and you washed up with nothing but a dry piece of paper, amazingly, and a pencil that'll work. And you pin down or you write down S-O-S. Amen. Help quickly. 911, whatever, amen. You pin all that, you're asking for help. Amen. You give the coordinates the best you know. Amen. And you decide I'm gonna send that out and hope some ship will pick it up. You don't just wad that piece of paper up and throw it out in the ocean. because it won't last out there. But what you do is you look around, and another amazing thing on all those deserted islands, there's an empty bottle with a cork cap that'll seal that thing up. And so the thing you do is you take that letter, you write the SOS on it, you shove it down in that bottle, you put that cork in there, seal it up real good, and you throw that thing as far as you can throw it out through there, right? How is that little fragile piece of paper protected in the midst of a devastating storm? It's sealed up inside the bottle. It is in something that is protecting it. Amen. As a child of God, if you're saved by the grace of God, amen. It don't matter where you are. It don't matter what's going on around you. God has put you in, amen. And He sealed you in by the Holy Ghost, amen. And He will protect you by His mighty hand, amen. Now that doesn't mean that no harm will ever come to us, but I'm saying, eternally speaking, we are sealed, amen. Saved, sealed, and as good as well as delivered, amen. Amen. We have been placed in Christ Jesus, hallelujah, amen. Just like that note being placed in that body, bottle. Ephesians chapter number 2, Joshua read this, and I was intending on it. Let me just turn there. You don't have to, or you can. If you can get there nearly as quick as I can. Ephesians chapter number 2, verses 11, 12, and 13. I think Joshua might have read verse number 12, I think. But let me read these. Verse 11, 12, and 13. Wherefore remember, and it do us good to remember, as he said, that ye being in time past Gentiles in the flesh, who are called uncircumcision by that which is called the circumcision in the flesh made by hands, that at that time ye were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel and strangers from the covenant of promise, having no hope and without God in the world. But now, what's these next three words? In Christ Jesus, ye who sometimes were far off are made nigh by the blood of Christ. Amen. What's the difference? What made the difference when we were before without Christ? But now we are in Christ. Amen. I ask the question, are you in? Amen. If you're in, there is a true spiritual understanding. Amen. There is a tremendous, secure, I'll say, protection. Amen. And then number three, I believe it means there is a total satisfaction. Amen. A total satisfaction. Turn back to Psalm 107. Book of Psalms. Chapter 107. Psalm 107. And two verses. Verses 8 and 9. I know this is Old Testament. But this whole Psalm, Psalm 107, over and over is talking about, well, it starts off, let the redeemed of the Lord say so. I'm glad I'm redeemed. Amen. Redeemed. So it's talking about redemption. It's talking about deliverance. Being saved. He's talking about all these. Oh, that men would praise the Lord. All right, look at verse number 8. Psalm 107, verse number 8. Oh, that men would praise the Lord for His goodness and for His wonderful works to the children of men. For He satisfieth the longing soul and filleth the hungry soul with goodness. Amen. He satisfieth the longing soul. Isn't that what He said? Amen. He satisfieth the longing soul and filleth the hungry soul with goodness. Blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. Right? Filled. You know what it means to be filled? It means to be satisfied. Satisfied. He satisfies the hungry or the longing soul. He filleth the hungry soul with goodness. Amen. It's sad to watch people in our world, people that populate our world running here and there and everywhere looking for satisfaction and finding it not. Amen. I remember one of the old songs, I think it's Eddie Rabbit sang it. It's talking about looking for love in all the wrong places. Amen. That brought back memories. I didn't mean to do that. That's running one of them rabbits that I need to leave alone. Amen. Eddie the Rabbit. Amen. But that's looking for love in all the wrong places. It's sad to watch people in our world looking for satisfaction, and they can't get satisfaction. Now they say it. I remember as a kid the Lucky Strike commercials. You remember that? Rather fight than switch. Lucky Strike cause they satisfy. One fella said if the cigarette satisfies, why they put 20 in a pack? If one of them would satisfy, why they put 20 in a pack? It's because they don't satisfy. Liquor don't satisfy. Women don't satisfy. Men don't satisfy. Amen. Dope don't satisfy. Perversion doesn't satisfy. Our world's looking for satisfaction everywhere they can in a plethora of ways. I mean, just numerous ways. Amen. And yet they can't find it. They can't find it. But those who are in Christ Jesus, those who are in the faith, have had a hunger that has been sparked not by the flesh, but a hunger that's been sparked by the Spirit of God. Amen. And when that hunger has been sparked by the Spirit of God, they can be filled by that same Spirit of God and satisfied by that same Spirit of God. Amen. Turn back to Isaiah, another Old Testament. If you're still in Psalms, you just go over a few books. Isaiah, the first major prophet, chapter number 55, towards the end of his writing. Isaiah 55, and I know verse 1 is very familiar, but I want you to look at some of these verses. Isaiah is talking about having a hunger, having a need, having a thirst. All right, Isaiah 55, verse number 1. Sing, no, I'm looking at verse 54, 55. Ho, everyone that thirsteth, come ye to the waters, and he that hath no money, come ye buy and eat. Yea, come buy wine and milk without money and without price. Look at this question. Wherefore do you spend money for that which is not bread, and your labor for that which satisfieth not? Hearken diligently unto me, and eat ye that which is good, and let your soul delight itself in fatness. Incline your ear, and come unto me. Hear, and your soul shall live, and I will make an everlasting covenant with you, even the sure mercies of David. Amen. You know what he's saying? He's saying, why are you wandering here and there looking for satisfaction and never finding it? He said, why won't you come to me? Amen. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Amen. You can find satisfaction in Jesus Christ. Now, I talked about that Samaritan woman left her bucket at the well in John 4. How could she leave her bucket at the well? How could she go into the city and tell those men, come see a man that told me all things that ever I did is not this to Christ? When all the time before, when she was with those men, she wasn't talking about another man. She was intent on those men. Something changed in her life. A hunger she used to have, she no longer had. A thirst she used to have, she no longer has. Amen. She's left her bucket. She's left the men. Amen. She's bringing them to Christ. Amen. How could that happen? She has met the Lord and she has been satisfied. Amen. She had a lot of questions about when Messiah cometh and all this. You say Jerusalem, where to worship, our fathers worship in the mountain. She had all these religious questions asked, but when she came to recognize Jesus as the Messiah that they was looking for, as the Savior that could satisfy her soul, even all her religious questions were satisfied. She's not thinking about where to go to worship. She's not thinking about arguing with the Jews. She's not thinking about this or that. She's saying, come see a man. All of her focus is on him. Amen. All of a sudden, it's all about him. Amen. Which is the way it ought to be. Amen. There's another situation. And I'm not going to have you turn there, but you remember in John chapter number 8, there's a woman caught in the very act of adultery. Brought to our Lord. They said, the Pharisees, and by the way, they're just trying to trap our Lord. They wasn't intent on punishing that woman. They was trying to trap our Lord. Amen. And you say, how do you know that? Well, here's one way I know that, because if she is caught in the very act, she was not the only one. Old saying, it takes two to tango. There's another somebody guilty. They didn't bring him. Amen. By the way, the law did not say one party deserves death, but the other party gets to go free. No. In that Old Testament law, the adulterers both were killed. Stoned. Amen. They weren't interested in carrying out the law. They was interested in trapping our Lord. But they brought that woman to Jesus. And Jesus said, he that is without sin among you, let him cast the first stone. And the Bible says every one of them was convicted by those words. And they walked away one after another, beginning at the eldest and going down to the youngest. Amen. I was telling Brother Steve the other day, I was thinking about that. I don't think I've said it from the pulpit. I don't remember saying it if I have. But I got to think about, if every one of them was convicted, that means she was convicted. Because she was in that, if everyone that heard him, because she heard him, she was in that crowd, brought in there, but she didn't leave. You know why they left? Because they recognized they were guilty, but they wasn't going to admit to him they was guilty. They wasn't going to ask him for forgiveness. She knew she is guilty. Amen. But she is waiting for wonderful words of life. Amen. Amen. She is willing to wait. Amen. If this man loved her enough to stop them from stoning her, she is willing to say, see what he had to say. And so when he said, woman, where art thine accusers? She said, none, Lord. I don't have an accuser. She's recognizing, I don't believe you're going to accuse me. I believe you're going to forgive me. And he said, go and sin no more. Amen. Amen. He didn't say go back there and keep doing what you've been doing. No. He said, listen, if you've been convicted by the Holy Ghost, if you truly believe what I'm telling you, then there'll be a new understanding, a spiritual understanding. There'll be a new experience in your life. Amen. And you don't have to go back to that cesspool again. Amen. 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 She's been satisfied. Hallelujah. Amen. And that's what God wants for us. Amen. I believe obviously Jesus had saved her and satisfied her when he said, go and sin no more. Amen. Amen. Let me ask a question. How can drunkards who have spent paycheck after paycheck on booze, how can they drop the bottle and never return back to it? Well, if they find satisfaction in Jesus, they can. Amen. They can sober up, never go back to the beer joint. Amen. Brother Andy. Y'all know, amen, Brother Andy's testimony. Told him, he said, I got saved and I won't never be back. Amen. Amen. I came here out of habit. This is what I always done, but I won't never be back because something changed on the inside. Amen. Listen, I'm telling you, that can happen for a child of God. I remember as a boy, I wasn't there to see it happen, but my dad, we got a call late at night, and Josh was talking about, he calls him Paw, I call him Dad. But my dad got a call. He was the pastor. A man called wanting to talk to Dad. Dad got there. A man and his wife had split up. They had attended the church. Some they weren't members. Neither one of them was saved. He had a, this is back in the 80s. He had $1,000 a week cocaine habit. He was a truck driver, Brother Jake. He said that he had driven from Texas to North Carolina. And when he got to North Carolina, he woke up, didn't remember 1 mile of his trip. He said that he had literally walked around his rig numbers of times to make sure he hadn't run over somebody and killed them. But that night, that man called on God and asked God to save him. Amen. And he let his little old 7-year-old girl take all that high dollar cocaine and pour it down the commode. Where it belonged, by the way. Amen. You say, how did he do that? He didn't have to go to an NA, an AA, or none of that. He went to Jesus Christ. Amen. He went to Jesus Christ and got satisfied. Hallelujah. Amen. By the good grace of God. Amen. I believe God can still do that in 2021. Amen. I believe he can still deliver people from whatever sin there is. Amen. Our God is able to deliver you. Amen. He is able. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. Come to Jesus and be satisfied. Amen. Now ask the question again. Are you in? Are you in Christ Jesus? Let me conclude with this. I said I'd ask some more questions. If you are in Christ Jesus, you found true spiritual understanding. Amen. Something you never had before. If you are in Christ Jesus, you're walking hand in hand with Jesus day by day. You'll find that true spiritual understanding more and more as you walk with him. Amen. You found a tremendous special protection by the hand of God from the dangers and the temptations of Satan and the flesh and the world. And you found total satisfaction in Christ. But here's my next question. If you are in, how far are you in? Amen. I read this and I thought, you know, it's a good illustration. A woman out in a winter storm on a cold winter night, snow blowing. It's blowing so hard she don't really even know where she's at. She feels like she's about to freeze to death. She sees the light of a cabin way off in the distance. and she's able to stumble her way to that cabin, and she pounded on the door. Somebody in that family got up from the hearth of the fire and went and opened the door and let her in. But wouldn't it have been foolish for her to just step inside the door and say, that's as far as I'm going? They said, no, come on up here to the fire. You can get warm. You can get dried off. You can get to feeling better and better. And she said, oh no, no, I don't want to get too far in. I don't want to get in too much. I just want to barely. No, I'm telling you what she's going to do. She's going to embrace that fire. Amen. Listen, by the grace of God, I want to get in the fire, don't you? Amen. I want to get close to God. I want to get warm. I want to be filled with the things of God. Amen. That's right. Not just stay close to the door, but get all the way in. Amen. I heard another story similar to this, and I heard this when I was a child. Talk about this little girl. Her mama tucked her in bed. Well, she told her to go to bed. Little girl goes to bed. Mama goes downstairs, and she's sewing, doing something downstairs, and she hears an ominous thump. Like Brother Mackey is talking about one of our other grandsons. Was our youngest, till Samuel came along, youngest grandson. But he, Benson, and he said he wasn't much bigger than Samuel now, and he put him on the bed, put the pillows around him, and he hadn't even made it all the way into the living room till he heard thump. Old Benson done fell off on his head. Amen. That's what makes shepherds shepherds. Amen. They fall off on their head. But anyway, but here, this woman heard that ominous thump. So she got up and ran upstairs to see what happened. And the little girl's laying out on the floor. Mama gets her up, tucks her back in bed, says, honey, what happened? The little girl said, here's what she said. She said, Mama, I guess I just went to sleep too close to where I got in at. Listen, when you get saved by the grace of God, don't just get in and go off to sleep. Don't just sit on the pew and sleep. I'm talking about get in there. I mean, get in there. Amen. Get in there and enjoy the things of God. How far or how close are you in? Amen. If you are in, how far are you in? And then number three, last thing. If you are in, are you trying to get anybody else in? Are we trying to get anybody else in? This is what I thought about, and all these pictures. I'm not a big storyteller, but tonight that's what's in my mind. If you was drowning in the ocean, and you got rescued, pulled into the lifeboat, you'd be thankful that you was in the lifeboat. But the natural thing to do would be to try to reach out and help somebody else that's still in danger of drowning. That'd be the natural thing to do. Try to bring somebody else into the fold. Amen. Hebrews chapter number 6 and verse number 1 says, therefore, leaving the principles of the doctrine of Christ, let us go on unto perfection, not laying again the foundation of repentance from dead works and of faith toward God. Here's what he said at Hebrews. He said, we need to move on, go in a little further, go on a little more. 1 Peter chapter 2, verses 2 and 3. As newborn babes, desire the sincere milk of the word that you may grow thereby. If so be, you have tasted that the Lord is gracious. Amen. Are you in? If you're in, how far are you in? And are we trying to get others in? Let's stand to our feet. Let's ask God to help us. If God spoke to your heart, we're going to have a song of invitation. We'll have them come. And I wonder if the Lord may have spoke to your heart. Amen. If he did, would you obey the Lord? Here's some words from Frances Ridley Havergal. She's a great songwriter. Here's what she said. She said, oh, strengthen me that while I stand firm on the rock and strong in thee, I may stretch out a loving hand to wrestlers on life's troubled sea. Amen. I'm in safety. I want to reach out to others. Heavenly Father, thank you for the Word of God. Thank you for the Spirit of God that takes these words and makes them really more than words. You make them life unto those that believe. Father, I pray that you'd help us. Tonight, Lord, I pray you'd help us that we would receive the things of God as they are in truth, the things of God. Lord, I pray you'd help us that we'd recognize it as truth, that you can deliver from any sin. Help us not to give up on our loved ones. Some of them, we get exasperated with them. We get upset that we try to help them. Looks like they're about to get help and then they go right back. Lord, help us not to give up, but to keep believing, to keep praying, to keep begging, to keep reaching for them that are lost. Father, I pray help us that are saved, not just to stay on the outskirts, but to get in and as close to God as we can. Join the family and serve God. Lord, help us to do that. by your grace. In Jesus' name, amen. As we sing, if the Lord spoke to you, some are praying in the pew, some are up at the altar. If you need to come, I want to give you an opportunity to do that as we sing.